God, I love that sax solo, I tell ya. You're listening to Sacred Space here in CJUM 101.5 FM out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And we're sitting here talking with Michael Tazarian. And before we went to break there, I kind of alluded to it. So what is a schizogenic society?
Well, you see, this goes to the heart of the intimate connections between consciousness and physical matter. Jung proved that they were the same, that this the energy that creates your mental architecture is the exact same energy that creates the material world, nature, and everything that you see outside of yourself. But these, one of the greatest omissions that is, you know, a hallmark of our sort of Western studies, Western education, is that these connections between mental and physical energy is never dealt with. This is the heart of the shamanic tradition. It's one of the first things that the shaman deals with. That is how you understand the connections between yourself and the external world. The way that the human race is now being sort of taught this in a way, if you take my point, is that man is going to learn this lesson all right, but he's going to learn it in a very probably, you know, negative way.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to discover how his mind changes, how consciousness changes reality, or how man's mind changes reality and changes history. He's going to learn that in a pretty radical way, because things, as you can see in the world, are getting darker and darker, worse and worse. And man is going to finally have to understand that his own thinking, his own estrangement from himself, his own denial of being, his own failure to work with his own dark, quote-unquote, dark content, his inability to purge and exercise his own repressed content, you see, or in Jungian terms, his inability to work with his shadow personality, etc., etc. Even though man is aware of all of these things now, since the Freudian and Jungian age, certainly since the 60s when these subjects were vogue, pretty much no work has been done. Well, there's a consequence to that. The basic fact of the matter is that an insane or unsane toxic person will create a toxic environment. It'll start in their family, it'll permeate to the relationships that they have, it'll move into the workplace, and it will play itself out in fate. Because the toxic, aggressive, you see, ego-generated, narcissistic person who's infinitely cruel to himself, even though he'll deny it, because, of course, denial is now a key part of his psyche, psychic makeup, he is going to operate that way in the world. Now, he has a whole tissue of denial mechanisms to convince himself that, of course, that's not true and that he's not like that, and he puts on a smile and he wears the persona and he goes about being such a nice person, so that he can pretend that there's not a seething, you know, repressed, intensely violent creature there. And just because there's no police that you can call and there's no court to which you can go for psychic forms of violence, you know, I mean, that barely exists for physical violence. There's certainly nobody there policing you when you do acts of emotional violence, which is going on all over the world and in every corner of the world, with mothers to their children, fathers to their children, you know, bosses to their underlings, politicians to their lessers, etc., priests to their flock. There's versions of psychic violence in every corner of the world. Yet people are blind to it. They don't see it. But what's going to happen is it might become so intense. Nature has a way of making this stuff so intense that finally even the resistance of the most, you know, denial-oriented creatures will have to accept that there's something going on here that cannot be explained by normal curricula vitae, the normal scientific analysis or the normal sociological theories are not going to, you know, and it's already happened. Haven't you seen the jadedness in most of the experts where they're scratching their head? Every PBS program, all you hear is, I don't know. You hear them speculating and speculating and speculating. And, of course, an intellectual speculation is to say, look, we really don't have a clue. We can't explain why this is all taking place. We don't understand why the youth are becoming more delinquent. Oh, my goodness, there was so much promise yesterday's world. You'll keep on hearing them be very retrospective. They'll be able to absolutely delineate the problem for you. This is what they seem to have expertise in, is being able to, you know, analyze and talk about the various problems in this permutation. But I don't hear too many voices telling you why it all happened and what can be done about it. In fact, I see tremendous, jadedness and a feeling of total desperation amongst experts. And I find that extraordinary. But I understand it. It's because America was brought up pretty much on a behaviorist model, where if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. You're talking about why Beethoven's and Mozart's can't exist? My goodness, for the last 50 years or more, psychology in America, sociology, and the school systems through Dewey and through B.F. Skinner and through, what's his name? The other behaviorist, you see?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The guy with the pyramid?
Yeah, the guy I'm thinking of is, there's B.F. Skinner and it'll come to me. But through these characters, they have literally said as fact, as scientifically proven, that Beethoven's Seventh Symphony and, you know, the Mona Lisa and the Sistine Chapel and any other creation of a great genius doesn't exist. That which is created of consciousness, because you can't see consciousness, of course that stuff doesn't exist. This is basically what they're telling you. This became the, you know, the highest science that America has basically been going, and very little else has changed. And doesn't that put the average, a saucer of milk above consciousness then? Because a saucer of milk you can see. That puts a roof tile. The garden gnome is now more superior in metaphysical meaning than the human consciousness that created, you know, the Handel's Messiah. This is the official. So then, no wonder we're in a situation where nature, who is the greatest teacher, now has to basically mirror back to us all the atrocity that man is, so that finally, hopefully, down the line, he'll either have two paths to go on. He's either going to destroy himself utterly, or he will, in fact, awaken. I am a person who believes that human beings will awaken. Mm-hmm. I'm not bending, and I'm not waiting impatiently for it or anything. And I know that a lot of people will never awaken, but I'm not concerned about them, because I know the kind of criminality that these people are responsible for, both within and without. And I have no more mercy for them than the Christ has in the Bible, you see, when he said, "I come with a sword to separate and to divide." So it's not a question of compassion or anything like that. Compassion is meant to be only focused towards the self, self-healing. Forgiveness, compassion, truly are, in the Gnostic tradition, have nothing to do with another person at all. They're to do with self-awakening, the awareness that you've been living in an estrangement to yourself, and that you've caused yourself enormous stress. People can't sleep at night anymore. They have to go to bed with pills. They got to wake up with pills. They're working in jobs they absolutely loathe. They're slaves to a wage. They have to interject all their anger, you see, because they're living in a system in which is passive-aggressive. You can't openly deal with your dark content. You can't never acknowledge that you're angry or unwell, you see. So we're living in a deeply disturbed and hypocritical and pathogenic way, because we're pathological, and we haven't diagnosed the human being correctly, especially in an American context. America has been very recalcitrant when it comes to employing the Freudian and post-Freudian models. It's considered a thing of elitism. You know, only the few elite university types, you know, who will look into those matters. And, of course, only you'll do it when you're so psychically sick at 45 years of age that there's no alternative for you now but to go and see a high-priced psychologist. Then psychobabble comes into people's lives. Yeah. So wait a minute, there's something so much more beautiful about these subjects than just some New Age jive and some desperate attempt. You know, I think this is beautifully brought out in the movie Sex, Lies, and Videotape, where it shows you that the heroine of the movie does see a psychologist. But later on, when she's having just a normal drink, a cup of tea in a restaurant, with the stranger, the dark stranger who comes into her life, she's having a beautiful psychological interaction with him, just over drinks, not even aware that this is a deeper interchange with this mysterious stranger than she's paying for with this high-priced penthouse psychologist. They beautifully bring this out in that film. Yeah. And in fact, they even show the actress is so good that she shows that she's actually very uncomfortable with the psychologist, actually. Not totally at ease with this guy. But with the stranger, she's not at ease either. But he's getting the deeper aspects within herself because he's the mirror. Well, now, how come it is that we then cannot be like that with our own friends?
Yeah.
How come we will not talk openly about who we really are, what our frustrations are, what our real needs are? We don't even do that any... Do you realize that in society and in our friendships, we even in that area stay away from our emotional...
Well, God forbid that you show any kind of weakness.
That's right. So people can sit at bars, they can go to clubs, they can walk in the park, and they will just talk incomprehensible garbage. And that's being polite about it.
Yeah.
And I just look at this and go, is this the legacy of the Victorian age? Is this the legacy of 2,000 years that we should be talking this gobbledygook, you know, over the counter or in the checkout, you know? I mean, where is actually the conversation? Can somebody tell me, is anybody having an actual conversation here of any meaning except some pathetic low chakra, you know, utterly preposterous, tawdry rubbish? Well, of course the person's screaming out inside once they live a life like that, and they're deeply in hatred of themselves, And it is this hatred of themselves, coupled with the estrangement from being, that is causing tremendous toxicity in our society. And every single person is culpable for that.
If people can't really see the correlation between the things that you talk about and, for me, what this show is about, which is about the spiritual aspect of, you know, of wanting to share that and to get it out there and show the importance of it, this is really what it's all about. It's all about the self and the awareness of self.
I'm like everyone else. When you try to talk about this kind of content to individuals in your private midst, you're wasting your time. And I went through that phase and realized that, what I realized is, because I come from a metaphysical tradition, I realized very quickly that, and I hope that people are listening to this, because I know that a lot of people have the same problem. When they try to bring this up to people they think they love, and that you think you love you, mm-hmm. then you're looked at as an outsider, and it causes you a lot of pain. Try to understand that one of the reasons for this is because the topic that you're dealing with is sacred. And I mean that with a capital F.
Absolutely.
Therefore, it is too big for the small pond of a bunch of local yokels that you're trying to, re-hardwire. It's too big for them. Face it. They're not, they're not coming to you with any questions. They're running along on freewheeling on their own. This is a message that goes out to humanity, not to human beings. There's a difference.
Yeah, it's just not a passing thought.
Not serve, you didn't see Jesus running around going, well, I'm serving humanity. Get out of my way. It's like Superman. Let me save the human race. No. You're speaking to humanity. That means humanity, all the children that will come in the future, people who are yet unborn. You're talking to every corner of the globe. And you're also talking to those human beings who have humanity in their soul, mm-hmm. which, by the way, doesn't include the whole human race.
No, that's
so
for sure.
There's a fine point here. You're not serving humanity because most of humanity isn't human. And I mean that psychologically, not even, we're talking about the alien gene. Let's just leave that out for a moment. Even if you don't even believe in that, still, people do not have what you would call humanity. So then do not wonder why they respond in ways where they want to, murder you, martyr you, if you're speaking the truth. This one thing is, the message is a very sacred one. It's much more sacred than what the priests are talking about.
Oh, God.
And what the politicians are talking about. And therefore, you have to find a way through the internet, or like what you're doing, George, with the radio, or through a blog, or writing a book, or a magazine. You have to take it up to the public level. This is far too powerful. And this really needs to be spoken from the balcony. And that's what changed in me very quickly. When I realized that this was not the, registering at all, quite the reverse, on the private scale, I realized, okay, then I take it up to the next level. Because I know that humanity will listen, and humanity is listening. That is exactly the right choice. And I encourage other people to do the same. If you find that, you're not being heard, it's because you're not talking to a big enough audience. Get out there to the balcony. Get out there with the broadcaster, and broadcast this message, like what you're doing, George, to a wider public, and then things will shift. Mm-hmm. That is the dynamic. That is the calling.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, what else can you do but to get that out there in whatever way that you can? And I think
I have the living proof. People can go on to that talk. That I have the Google thing where it was uploaded purely by chance to Google, this talk I did in Los Angeles recently.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I did the talk in July or late July. By late October, 100,000 people had watched it. I don't know what the statistics are now. And the other ones that I've done equally, there's between 50,000, 60,000 people have watched these things. Where on earth could you or I and 10 other people who tried to host a Michael Tesorian talk, even in L.A., how could we rustle up 100,000 people to come to that?
Yeah.
Even if you were charging no money for it?
Yeah.
Right. Point taken. See?
Exactly.
It would never happen. You couldn't even get 100 people.
No.
But Internet, look what happened. 100,000 people watched this little talk I didn't even plan to film. This is the perfect proof in the making that the new technology is brought there by this spirit of rebellion, by this new energy that is also there, it's always there. And people who know how to work with it, who have long withstood conformity and regimentation, there's also a time coming for those people to have the tools at their hand so that they can do the work that they've really been brought here to do. We lived in a very Saturnian type of setting in the last several millennia. So, of course, it's been difficult for rebels and people who have a voice. But see, things are shifting. This countdown to 2012 is also part of that. It's not just a negative thing. Yeah, it's negative for those people who have lived a lie, but it's quite the opposite for those people who have, really held out. I mean, that's one of the biggest messages of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings that was recently made into a movie. They mentioned this so many times in the movie that even the smallest person can affect the greatest changes.
Exactly.
Even what kings and warriors cannot do, even the most graced people, the most graced creatures on the earth, they still may not be able to accomplish what a very ordinary, humble person can accomplish.
A little hobbit can do, yeah.
Right. I watch, especially if you watch the extended version of the movie, which is quite a different movie than the one they released just for the general public, you know, Jesus, that really is emphasized very, very strongly, where this concept of empowerment has nothing to do with, you know, what you aspire to or what your class may be. It's what loves you. If the muse is in love with you and the God force wants to, and your spirit is strong and it brings to you the teaching, nothing stands in your way. It's a very different thing than ego-based willed empowerment, which is futile and temporary.
Well said. I tell you, and for those that want to get into this more, definitely check out Michael's Origins and Oracles, the DVD series. It's huge. It's like how many hours?
60.
60 hours? Wow.
Yeah, they can. It's on originsandoracles.com, and they can call me at the. Get information by calling my number, which is 650-223-3304.
Excellent. Well, again, I want to thank you for taking a second time to share your sacred space with our sacred space. It has truly been a pleasure.
Well, same here. It's great to get that opportunity. Thank you for giving it to me.
I've really, really enjoyed this, and I could be here hours longer, but I guess we got to pull over and let Ray have a turn here at the mic.
Right. Like I say, on the websites, we provide a lot of free information. There's a lot of free web stream, so people can pick up the Slack and, you know, get in there and find out a lot more.
Awesome. I guess the best thing I could say is thank you, Michael, for being you.
Absolutely. Thank you in return. Thank you very much.
All right. You've been listening to Sacred Space here in CJUM 101.5 FM at Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and that was Michael Tazarian. Definitely check out his site. And I'm going to spell out there for you people that may have a problem with his name. It's MICHAEL, and Tazarian is spelled TSARION.com. Definitely check it out. Like I say, it is one of the best sites I have ever come across on the internet. Well, stay tuned for Ray Alexander and Fascinating Rhythm. We're going to end on another Jethro Tull tune. This is Skating Away on the Thin Ice of a New Day. And let's do that. Peace out.